excellent prices have been the biggest driver behind what could be Australia's largest ever mung bean crop. The three-month crop fits into many rotations, and if all goes well, it can yield above 2 tonnes to the hectare. But without in-crop rain, a tonne to the hectare would be considered quite good. Pulse Australia's Paul McIntosh says farmers are pushing the boundaries and planting in some marginal areas.
We're talking about up into the Gulf, we're talking about up into the Burdekin, and we're talking about the far northern parts of central Queensland, and we're talking about west of Roma. So that's really pushing the extremities of a softer crop like mung beans to be growing in that environment out there. And that's where our breeders have come in. They've done a fantastic job down at Hermitage. They've got GRDC funding, which is great news. They're really pushing the boundaries. And as a consequence, we're getting the varieties to handle these far-flung areas. These days, people are growing them as a main crop. They're starting to put mung beans in as a main crop, particularly these strong prices. So out there, they will grow. This time, this year, with these varieties, they're going to grow a lot better.
You're not going to say it, but I'm going to say it. They've got a bad rep, mung beans. People call them mongrel beans. I had someone tell me the other day, you can have two crops of mung beans in 1 year, your first and your last. They're difficult, aren't they?
They are, and that's why we've got an agronomist network set up, with accredited agronomists that have gone through the mung bean training. Also, we're getting better at it. We believe now we cannot just plant a crop and have a failure. You cannot do that. There's no room for any failures. So mongrel bean crops, they're gone. We are now mung bean growers, professional farmers, professional advisors, and we've got a professional whole of industry for Australia for our mung beans, that's for sure.
You talked about better varieties. Where's the improvement been made?
Overseas varieties coming in and the breeders down in Hermitage, really adapting them to our extreme conditions, I suppose. So it's all overseas stuff coming in. We've still got a lot of work to do on disease fronts, but as far as varieties standing up, yield, good tolerance to this disease and that disease, we've still got a few other boxes to tick, but it's the overseas material coming in.
Of course, though, the big driver in crop choice is price. And while earlier in the season it was at near record levels of around $1,400 per tonne, it has softened a bit. Pulse's Queensland OLAM regional manager Brett McIntyre explains what factors have influenced the price.
At the moment, Ali, we're seeing prices for manufacturing to the grower at $1,100 a tonne on a machine dress basis, up to $1,300 a tonne for number one processing on a machine dress basis. So it has come back a little bit, and this is mainly due to the crop coming on the trade from Burma. So the price has softened, also on the back of seeing such a big plant. It's probably one of the biggest plants that we have seen in the history of the mung bean crop.
In terms of what the price will do from here, is it likely to drop back further?
Not at this stage, I don't think, Ali. The next month to 2 months will be one of the biggest keys. If we see rain and potentially widespread rain, not big rain, but anywhere from 20 to 40 mils of rain over the next month, this will get the crop going better, and then we may see, when it comes to flowering, we have another shower, and the yield is potentially then going to be quite high. With the yield being quite high, we will see some softening. But on the back of that, if it remains hot and dry, and we don't want to see this, but it could, the yield will drop off and the price may go the other way and firm further.
Let's look at how people organise their marketing for mung beans. Is it hectare contracts? How do people traditionally market mung beans?
Most people will do part of their area in a hectare contract, or almost all of their area, depending on what area they have. This puts them in the market, leads them into the marketplace, and then we'll also have people wait till the crop's harvested, see what quality they've got, then they'll come around and see some of the buyers, processors, and have obtain a price from there. So it's marketed mainly two ways, hectare contracts, and then also at harvest with firm tonnage.
Where do most of Australia's mung beans go?
Mainly internationally. We are seeing a slow incline in domestic, Australian domestic market, due to the culture that we have in Australia at the moment compared to many years ago, where most people enjoyed a steak. Now we're seeing more and more pulses being consumed and being more healthy. But at the moment, I would say between 80 to 85% of the Australian crop is exported.
What are you saying, Brett McIntyre? People are living by the adage, peace, love and mung beans, a bit more.
Slowly, I think. Ali, I'm still a steak man, so I haven't crossed over yet.
Perhaps a mung bean accompaniment, maybe.
Maybe, yeah. They do tell me they make some good desserts, so maybe I might go that way.